Good morning, everyone. Thank you for dialing in, and welcome to FSL Trust second quarter results conference call. My name is Tayao Li, and I'm the Investor and Public Relations Manager for FSL Trust Management, the Trustee Manager of FSL Trust, and I have here with me Mr. Alan Hassan, our Chief Executive Officer. We have announced our results yesterday evening, and the relevant materials are accessible from our website at www.fsltrust.com or from the SGX website. Alan will begin today's session with a presentation of our results, and thereafter he'll take your questions. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to slide number four. The figure for second quarter FY14 debt outstanding should actually be 333093. The updated presentation is available on our website, and I apologize for this slight error. Lastly, I would like to remind everyone that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements based on the environment as we currently see it, and as such, does include risks and uncertainties. With that, let me hand it over to Alan.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our call. I will now run through the presentation that's been posted on the website and give you an overview of the results that were published yesterday to cover the second quarter 2015. To start, we'll run through some of the key milestones that have been achieved thus far this year, and then we'll run through the numbers and a couple of other issues. We announced compliance with our original 2011 loan agreement in January this year. That's given us a good platform to move forward. In January, we made a gain on the disposal of the shares in TORM that we held and saw a gain on that disposal of $1.7 million. More recently, we have both strengthened the board of FSL Trust Management with the appointment of Michael Gray in Singapore as an independent director and as the chairman of the audit committee. And from a more shipping business perspective, we have also secured medium-term contracts on four of our tankers over the last few months, which we feel goes a long way into providing good visible income over the next 2 years and potentially beyond. And so we've secured a two-year time charter with Tesoro on the FSL Hong Kong. That was negotiated and reached in April and started during the second quarter. We've also secured three new time charter agreements with a leading global commodities trader on significantly improved rates from where the vessels in question were trading before, and that relates to the FSL Shanghai, which is one of our Aframax tankers, the FSL Hamburg, and the FSL Singapore, which are our two ice-class MR tankers. And the rates of those deals were certainly as high as anything we'd seen in the market around that. The deals start at different times. The Shanghai should commence sometime during August, and the Hamburg and Singapore is likely to be slightly later this year. And that's just due to some of the other timing issues around the delivery and redelivery of those ships from previous business. Moving on to page three of the presentation, the key financial highlights for the second quarter. The numbers posted this quarter show a significant improvement on previous quarters and certainly year on year. Looking at the net cash generated from operations, that's up 32.2% year on year to $17 million. The profit for the quarter is a significant improvement to $6.2 million from the corresponding period of last year. We've managed to continue the drive on revenue growth, and as I say, this is prior to the start of some of the contracts that we've signed. This is mainly down to improved income on some of our other tankers, and that's up now at $27.5 million for the quarter, and which is an almost 20% increase. Operating expenses to revenue ratio has improved, and the operating profit of 8.5 million is significantly up from the equivalent period last year of just under 5 million. Throughout the period, we've also continued to pay down debt quite aggressively. We've got quite a high level of debt that needs to be repaid, and our scheduled repayments mean that we end up reducing our gearing quite significantly, and that's based on the value of the fleet that we currently operate, and certainly the market values of the fleet that we have under management continues to remain firm, and so by paying down the debt in this quite aggressive way, we're creating quite a bit of value in terms of net steel value over and above the value of the debt that's obviously reducing with time. To give you a quick summary and to run through the table on page 4 of performance, most of those numbers were drawn upon in the last slide, but you can see that, as I said, revenue is up almost 20%, operating profit up 72%, net profit for the quarter up 5 times, and a significant increase in the net cash generated from operations. And at the same time, we continue to pay down debt. We have managed to, as I say, improve the earnings across the redelivered fleet, the fleet that we had had to take back from non-performing bareboat charters. And certainly that's been one of the key focuses of management during the last couple of years, is to try and run the vessels on a more managed portfolio basis, to look at different tenors of time charter coverage to both mitigate risk but also to ensure continued exposure to the rising markets that we have been predicting. And so that's how we've been able to drive increased revenue period on period. And with that, and with the control on costs that we've been trying to push through this the system, really, we have seen a strong improvement in the net profit and the net cash generated in Q2. Page 5 shows how the balance of revenue is earned across the fleet. And you know, what's interesting at the moment is that the bareboat charter revenue from our fixed contracts with Evergreen, with Yang Ming, and with James Fisher are making a smaller proportion of our overall revenues, but still providing us with that very stable basis of cash flow. The time charter income from Petrobras and Tesoro, that amount is likely to increase in the new contracts that we have signed, and given the fact that we have moved one of the Aframax vessels from TK, who, you know, we were very happy with the job they did from a kind of commercial management basis in the revenue sharing agreement that we had with them. But given that rates had improved to the level that they had across the Aframax market, we decided that we would it would be prudent to take the time charter rates that were available in the market during the course of the second quarter. And so we expect to see, going forward, time charters become a larger part of our revenue mix. And obviously that's a more fixed and stable income stream than the pool, RSA, and spot element. The floating rate bareboats with TORM were significantly improved in the last quarter, and that was due to some degree to the balance of Q1 that we received. Basically, we didn't get the results from TORM until after our results were posted, and so we saw an uplift on the provision that we had made for that income, and so we saw a significant uplift in the income received from TORM due to an overhang in from Q1. We don't expect to see such a drastic improvement on the numbers that we've provided for in this quarter and into the next quarter, because we've refined our assumptions and recognizing a little bit more revenue prior to that now. So that should be more steady. Equally, the ships that we have with the Nordic Pool and with Hansa have continued to perform at reasonable market levels. Running through operational performance by type, and we think this is quite a useful measure to look at to see how we are how we're performing year on year, quarter to quarter, and seeing really where we're driving the most revenue through. The MRVs were down a little bit, and that's just by the nature of slightly increased operating costs. Again, we expect that to improve with the contracts that we get later in the year, and also where there's a little bit of spot income between the time in which the old contracts come off and the new contracts start. The feeder container vessels are down, and that's purely because of the fact that these were, at that point in time in the last year, still employed on very strong bareboat charters. We are seeing a general improvement in the feeder container market. We took the ships back in July 2014 when the daily rates were something like $7,500 a day. We're now seeing short-term time charters being signed for in excess of $10,000 a day. So we expect to see revenues improve, move forward on that. On the Aframaxes, again, it's been another strong quarter. We, as you will have seen, we've now put those ships onto fixed-rate time charters. And so moving forward, we expect those to be reasonably steady and the level to be slightly above what we earned this quarter just gone. The stainless steel chemical tankers have performed reasonably well, and we expect that to continue in terms of the rates. There's a little bit of work that needs to be done on those ships during the course of the next quarter, which may affect operational performance slightly, but we don't expect that to be too material. The LR2s were very strong in the second quarter, and as I say, that was because of payments that were received and the rates that were achieved in Q1 impacting our Q2 numbers. The specialized tankers with James Fisher are down a little bit period on period due to two of the renewals that were done at the end of last year at slightly lower rates. And the Panamax container ships remain unchanged given the fact that those are long-term contracts that haven't moved. And we have no cost exposure on the bare boats. Looking at the lease maturities or the contract cover that we have across the fleet at the moment, obviously the main changes at the moment will be which aren't on here at the moment are the Hamburg, the Singapore, and the Shanghai, which will move to stronger contract cover as we add the 2-year time charters to each of those, and there are optional periods around those as well. At the moment, this chart reflects the situation as at today, where those haven't commenced yet, but they are signed. And so that should, again, give us quite a significant amount of additional lease contract coverage. And otherwise, you can see that we've got varying maturities, but really, in terms of the sharp focus for the next period in front of us are the Shannon and Solway Fisher and the Ever Radiant and Ever Respect. Those ships come off in 2016, and so commercially that's the next move for us to focus on from a contract coverage point of view. In terms of contract revenue backlog, we've also added the time charter coverage that we've which we now have from the contracts that have been signed, and as you can see, that is the contract coverage quite significantly. And that's improved the visibility that we have on cash flow moving forward. One thing that we've started to put into these investor conference calls and presentations and to make sure that we're trying to be as transparent as possible in terms of future periods is the scheduled dry docks for the rest of the year. From the fleet that we manage and therefore have technical control over, and are therefore also paying for the dry docks for, there are two vessels which are likely to dry dock this year, and those are the FSL Hamburg and Singapore. And part of the reason why there's a slight delay in the vessels going into the contracts that we've signed is in order to facilitate a smooth transition between the contracts and also working out the logistics around a cost-effective dry dock in each case. So those vessels will have a period later in this year where they are off hire and where we incur cost, but that's natural in the life cycle of any of these vessels. I touched upon the information on page 10 previously in terms of the scheduled redeliveries. Those are the vessels that we're focusing on coming forward. As I've mentioned, I think, on other conference calls and at other investor presentations, we prudently at the moment recognize that the Ever Radiant and Ever Respect, being the two oldest vessels in our fleet, may well end up being redelivered to us and the optional period's not exercised. In that case, the way in which we model the business moving forward is that they would be sold at that point in time and are likely demolition candidates. So our residual value assumption is that a scrap. On the Shannon and Solway Fisher, later on in this year, we will start negotiating with James Fisher about renewals and or continuing with the optional period. But at the moment, we're not quite in the fixing window for those ships. So overall, the summary is that it's been a very strong financial performance, and that we maintain momentum and trajectory that the business has now been set forth upon, and we have better contract cover than we've had for a while, and we feel that we're in very good shape moving forward. Those new time charters give us significant improvement, really, on both visibility of cash flows, but also in general the quantum. The numbers that are secured are above where we had forecasted for the future periods, so they're certainly beneficial, we feel, to the trust performance going forward. And the outlook continues to improve on that basis. As I alluded to, there will be an effect in the second half of the dry docking of the Hamburg and Singapore. And you know, that's been forecast again and is a predictable cost. And now what we're focusing on and what we have been looking at trying to achieve, and the charters are an incremental way to doing that, is to continue to improve the revenue line and to try and ensure that we have replacement of revenues that are likely to fall away when the Evergreen vessels leave the fleet, as we predict, in early 2016. So that's been the focus, and ensuring at that point that we can maintain headroom above all the debt service requirements that we have, and that we have enough of a buffer within the business to do exactly that, and to then continue to move forward to deliver long-term value. That's really all I've got to say, except for the fact thank you very much for joining the call and your continued interest in the trust, and I'd like to thank the team here for what was a very good quarter.